It's 7:45. Good morning, I'm Anthony Mornell with KRWG News. New Mexico health officials in late June briefly opened a window to submit applications for lucrative licenses for pot production and then approved the only application that was received. The Santa Fe New Mexican reports that the health department issued the license June 28th to Albuquerque-based GH LLC after minimal public notice. The New Mexican reports that the incident is prompting allegations of favoritism and calls for an investigation. The new Cannabis Control Division of the State Regulation and Licensing Department is preparing to assume oversight of cannabis licensing in New Mexico. More kids are being hospitalized with COVID-19 in the U.S. To learn more about this, I talked with Dr. Glenn Fennelly, chair of pediatrics at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso. Here's part of our conversation. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Fennelly.
My pleasure. Thank you.
More children are being hospitalized with COVID-19. What age group seems to be the most vulnerable right now with this virus?
It's important to note that children are susceptible to COVID. They can get very sick and they can die like adults. The major difference is that this happens much less frequently. On the other hand, what we've observed since the beginning of the pandemic is it's somewhat older children that tend to be hospitalized. We had a peak week going back a week ago where there was more than 100 children hospitalized. About 60% of those were in the age range of 12 to 15 or 12 to 17. And that's been pretty consistent throughout the pandemic. The difference now is we're seeing again an uptick in the number of children hospitalized and to new peaks.
So with these hospitalizations rising with COVID-19, health officials have said they're also seeing rising cases of RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. What do you believe are leading to these causes of more cases of this virus happening?
It's an excellent question. And what we know is, number one, we were sort of seeing this seasonal variation in RSV, usually in most climates in the US, begins around October, peaks midwinter, and then wanes by April and certainly by May. The peak incidence of RSV in the US was going back to December, early January of 2019-2020. Since the pandemic, most families have been observing masking, social distancing. That protected most children against transmission of all respiratory illnesses. What we've been seeing since April, May of this year is there's been an accumulation in the number of children that are susceptible or that have never experienced RSV. And as they've, in certain jurisdictions, gone back to school in early August, even earlier than that, letting down the guard in terms of masking, families going out more, that's probably what's led to the spread of RSV.
So do you have more concerns about this fall with this virus?
What we know already is that there have been reports, for example, in Houston, of an increasing proportion of children hospitalized with not only RSV, but a combination of RSV and COVID. In Texas, children started going back to school in August. I think that did serve to help accelerate the transmission of RSV. Perhaps school-age children went home, may have transmitted it to their younger siblings. The peak incidence for hospitalizations with RSV is in the sort of infant or latest toddler age. So yes, I think as more jurisdictions see children going back to school, we may see an increase in both RSV and COVID among children.
What are some of the examples that you've seen that seem to be working in schools that are helping prevent outbreaks with COVID-19?
At the height of the pandemic, there were certain schools in the Midwest that sent their kids back to in-person classes. And this was in the setting of very high rates of community transmission. Those schools, again, did what we know works: masking, social distancing, to a degree cohorting children so they move together throughout the day as a group and don't mingle with children from other classes, keeping symptomatic children out of those classes. Even now, those are the best practices to prevent COVID transmission in the classroom.
The CDC is recommending that everyone 12 and older get vaccinated against COVID-19. What would you tell parents who are unsure at this moment about getting their child vaccinated?
In one sentence, if there's an opportunity you have for your child to be vaccinated, do it. the benefits of the vaccine for children 12 and over far outweigh any potential risk or potential harm from the vaccine.
What about side effects with the vaccine in kids that are eligible to take the vaccine? What are we seeing?
The overwhelming majority of children will experience the same relatively minor side effects as what adults. That includes some pain, swelling, redness at the site of injection, a fever, which tends to be lower grade. They may have some generalized fatigue or malaise, as it's called. It only lasts for maybe up to 3 days.
Dr. Glenn Fennelly, thank you so much for joining us for the program.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You can watch my full interview with Dr. Glenn Fennelly Thursday night at 7:30 on Fronteras a Changing America on television from KRWG Public Media.